This episode is brought to you by BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code TMS. Just pay $5 shipping. Coming up on TMS, watch bad movies with friends.
Cow shmoo on your car.
Get off my lawn or I will shock you.
Clowns should probably not have guns.
The French just don't care.
Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Verisil gives you great looking skin, even close up. Inside, it kills bacteria to dry the pimple.
Verisil's ace, face to face.
Outside, it soaks up all the excess oil.
Feeling first rate, your skin's looking great, cause Verisil's ace.
Verisil, for skin that looks great, even close up.
Face to face, face to face, to face, to face, to face.
I love American Idol.
The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. You got your Trek nerd in my chin beard. You got your chin beard in my Trek nerd.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. This is The Morning Stream for September 6th. It's a Thursday. It's 2018. I'm Scott, and that's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Scott. Yeah, that was the whole reason we had to put one of them on Monday and one of them on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Because to prevent situations like that.
This is all true. We're back, everybody. Tom's gone. He was here yesterday, gone here today, gone tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Or that was what you say yesterday. Here yesterday, gone today. He left this morning, got on a plane, and flying to Illinois. So he's yours now, you guys. He's
school
yours.
Reunion. Good yep. luck with him, Illinois.
We had a real good time. I'm so glad he came by. Great couple days together, and it was really fun. I enjoyed the hell
cool.
out of it. In fact, here's one of the things that Tom got to witness that no one else has so far.
Okay. You know, wow, it's like a solar eclipse or something.
Not, well, a little bit. Let's say it's the complete eclipse of the carpet. So here's what happened. We got that puppy, right? Boomer. Great uh-huh. dog. Yep. Loving her. She's the sweetest thing. Just love this dog. Already a part of the family. And we have somehow luckily been able to avoid any kind of accidents in the house. We've been
sure.
very good about making sure she's put out, that she's got kind of a regular place she goes in the yard, you know, and she seems to be, you know, she picks up on that. You take her out there, she immediately goes, comes right back to you. It's not like we're having
she
to wait for her, knows
right.
what to do. Except this morning, while Tom is like having coffee at the table and getting ready to go and leave for his flight, the dogs are wrestling and having fun, and suddenly the small one stops, the puppy, looks at me, looks down at the floor, and then it runs to the front room as fast as it can. And I went, oh, I don't like the look of this. So I stand up and I go whipping over there to find out what's going on. Now she's running back. She's already done. And there I find the most instant poo I've ever seen in my life. And it's not wet or gross or anything. It's a normal loggy poo. And I picked it up.
Little...
No problem. Good. You know, spray a little. Do your thing. It was
fine.
But I was so annoyed. She waited until this very moment this morning to do this. And she had already been out to pee and poo and done that already. So I don't know. She was she had an extra
a little stray nugget that didn't make it out.
The thing is, it was more than that. It was like a full, you know, as far as I'm concerned, a full load. So she's had two bullets in that chamber all morning, and she let the second one fly. So anyway, Tom got to witness that, and that was great. So,
good. Well, you always want company to be able to see when the dog craps on the carpet.
Yeah.
You know, why have that? Why save that just for yourself?
That's true. But I am glad. I'm happy to report her diet seems to be a good one. This is a good, you know,
good solid.
good. This isn't soft serve. You know, this is like a fat boy ice cream sandwich. You can pick it right up and throw it away.
I wonder if the wrestling just kind of sparked something like, "Ooh, I'm going to take you down. I'm going to oh."
I wouldn't be surprised. I think that's probably what was going on there. And then there's the best part of the week and the time of Tom. Last night we decided this is very film Sackian of us. Okay, we got done with dinner. Kim made this amazing sous vide steak shrimp thing. It was amazing. So we had this really nice dinner, and then we're like, "Well, we don't want to go anywhere. We should watch a movie or something." He's like, yeah. He goes, "Let's watch a disaster movie." Because he loves those, right?
He does, yeah. And oh, like what 2012 is the one that he
He just can't wait
yeah. for us to watch on.
He wants to come on and do it with us. In fact, over the week this week, he says, "Hey, we really should do that." Like, it's only been what, since 2012 we've been talking about it.
I think so. Yes, exactly.
So we decided on. We went through a whole bunch of choices and almost pulled the trigger on a bunch of them. We have finally decided to pull the trigger on 2015's Dwayne the Rock Johnson mega hit San Andreas, which was about a giant earthquake. Not about a fictional town in Grand Theft Auto.
Right.
So we watched San Andreas, and we watched The Rock deal with the worst earthquake in California history, and it was the dumbest movie in a long time that I've seen.
Had you seen that before?
No. First time.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, him too. Wow. This is one he had missed.
Oh, that's amazing. Wow. Yeah.
So have you seen it? Have you seen the...
I have seen it. Okay. Yeah. We saw it in theaters, believe it or not. I don't know why.
It's pretty dumb.
We didn't. We waited till it was... I think we waited till it was at Redbox. And we're like, all right, let's watch San Andreas.
What'd you think of it at the time?
Oh, exactly what you described. I mean, it's...
it's so dumb.
It's... Yeah, exactly.
It's film sack material. Like, one day when that's streaming... We had to rent it, so it's not streaming anywhere. But when that streams... I'd be willing to sit through that thing again to get us where FilmSack needs to be, because it is so
perfect.
I agree.
I think it's perfect FilmSack. And it's got that Papadario. What's her name?
Joppoli Papadario.
Joppoli Papadario, yes.
She's lovely. Exactly it. Beautiful. She's 30, but she's playing like 16, which is weird. she's lovely.
I don't think it's Joppolo Papadario.
Jarpolono Filoppio. That's it.
That's
she's a. I don't know her name. It's some kind of name.
She was the one from that first season of True Detective. Alexandria Daddario.
Correct.
That's it.
Daddario.
Alexandria Daddario.
We were really close. she's fine in it. She's good. Sure. Why not? The Rock's always fun.
You know. But yeah, you're right. She's totally playing like a 14-year-old in this.
Doesn't work. I was the whole time not buying that. I like the kid that played the British kid. He's actually Australian, and the kid that played his younger British brother is actually Irish. So nobody's actually British in this thing. But anyway, they were good, and you know, the little side stories were fine, and how they had to go get him is big and dumb. And there's lots of great CGI destruction, which is fun, but. What made it, Brian, would be the same thing as if you and I were here. We laughed our heads off and had the best time watching this piece of crap. It was great.
Yeah, see, that's what we need to do for an actual real film sack is the four of us actually sit down. We've never watched a movie together, the four of us.
Nope.
The film sack crew.
Nope.
I mean, we've watched it virtually all watching the same Netflix thing at the same time, recording it via Skype, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But there's something to say for being in the same room and having that experience.
Yeah, doing couch co-op on San Andreas is how you look at it.
That's right.
So one of these days, here's how it'll probably have to go. One of these days, we all decide that, hey, we're going to North Carolina or South Carolina, and we're going to go to one of the beaches there or something, and all of us are in the same room at the same time watching the same movie, and it could be a blast. And you know what? If we did 2012, Tom would fly out for that.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, he's got points. He could do that for sure. So anyways, that's the deal. It was fun, and we had a really good time, and I had a blast having Tom here. So thanks, everybody, yesterday for being so kind to Tom while he sat in with us. He had a great time on here, he said. It's the first time he's done that. He's never done a whole TMS with us before, or even with me.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, no, I could have sworn that he came in and filled in, no? Mm-mm. Did he not?
Nope. The only fill-ins we've ever had, I want to say, were... So here are the fill-ins we've had.
I know we've had Jury, Fletcher.
Yep, Jury, Fletcher,
Dunaway.
Schleicher, Dunaway. I think it's it. Four. Oh, Wendy did. No, and Wendy... No. She didn't do that with me once.
Huh.
I think that's it.
I think that is it.
And Tom would do it any time. I just always don't want to presume on his time, because, you know, busy guy.
Sure.
Busy, busy guy. I mean, he and I watched most of those hearings yesterday. It was freaking boring, dude. Really boring. Yeah. I can tell you that. The ones
get a lot of leveling done during that.
The Kavanaugh ones are a little bit more exciting this morning, but anyway, that's the deal.
Yeah.
Wendy will be here later. We're gonna take your calls, so be prepared for that, folks. In fact, write the number down now if you want to. That way, it's handy and ready, and you can get in 801-471-0462. The way the time usually works is we can get two to three in. Sometimes just two, because you know they take a while to talk through.
Sure. And we don't want to like rush somebody through. Well, okay. Yeah. Maybe go see a therapist. Yeah. All right. Next call.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that. That's a real problem. Yeah. Don't know how you handle that.
Yeah. Anyway, next guy. Yeah. We don't want to do that. So if you want to do that, be prepared. That's the number. And Wendy will be here to answer your hard life questions. Remember, she is an actual therapist with real skills in this area. So if you've got something serious and you're like, man, I really want it to be taken seriously, I guarantee we can do that today. And you don't have to say your name. You can just call in and
you can make up a name. You could pick the name of anybody else, you know, maybe a celebrity or a fellow tadpooler and use their name. We don't care.
You could say, hi, this is Pops Mercline, and then talk like burr, burr, like witness protection voice or whatever. You can do whatever you want.
Exactly.
They don't care.
Yep.
Yeah. Have someone else ask it for you. No rules. Do what you got to do. Be who you are. You be you. You do
you. This is Schmary from Schmantronics, and I have a question to ask you guys.
Is it?
I have a friend who's old.
I have an
and
older
pepper
friend.
Pepper on everything.
Is there something wrong with my taste buds, or is it a mental thing?
I'll go to dinner with people, and I won't talk to them forever. I'll just sit and blankly stare at my chicken breast with asparagus sauce.
That sounds good.
Covered with pepper.
That sounds good right now, what you're talking about. You're doing that to me. All right. Hey, it's let's do this. It's time for this right here.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive sensational summary of world and local events.
It's the news brought to you by.
Brought to you by Core. It's tonight, damn it.
Yeah, it is tonight. I don't know why I put damn it in there.
Damn it.
Tonight, 7 o'clock p.m. Mountain Time. We shifted it a day because of the Tom week. So Thursday, usually it's Wednesday, but tonight is Core, 7 o'clock. We'll do a show, and then we'll play some games and have a good old time. So come on, check us out. That'll be great.
And hero through the storm is what you will do.
Yeah.
You will be hero. You'll be storming with heroes.
Yep. You will be indeed. So we should do this. Oh, by the way, a quick one final note about San Andreas. Paul Giamatti's role in that is the most ridiculous, over the top thing I've ever seen in a movie in a long time. It's
I forgot he was in that. What is he?
He's your scientist. You know the trope of there's some guy in a science place who can see this all coming and tries to warn everybody. That he's that guy in this movie.
Gotcha. Okay.
And he is so over the top. He's like looking at the camera. The music gets all tense, and he says things like. Or they'll say, Doctor, whatever, what should we do to prepare? And they'll look in the camera and go, everyone just pray for San Francisco.
There's nothing you can do. Yeah. It's already too late.
Yeah, or that was just the first. This is the real quake. Like, he's just so completely over the top. It's a total blast. I really enjoyed his role.
Love it.
Anyway, here's some stories for you. Let's get right into them. A woman is being accused of wiping cow feces on a social services employee's car.
I'm sorry, man. Here you go. You can have your kids back. I now see the error of my ways. Here you go.
So true. Allegheny. Okay, I was going to say Allegheny woman. That rolls off the tongue. Is facing charges after she allegedly wiped cow feces on the vehicle of the Department of Social Services employee, as well as threatening to throw cow feces at the same worker's face. In her face. I'll get you in the face.
She pooped me in the face.
Face on, she says. According to Asparagus County, I'm not going to... Cattaraugus County Sheriff's Office Facebook page, Mary McConnell, not the actress.
Not the president of Battlestar Galactica.
No, or the what was she on Dances with Wolves? Stands with fists raised, or what was it?
Oh yeah, right.
Standing with fist
something
raised,
like that.
Raised fist stander.
With her arms open wide. When the walls fell.
When the walls fell. Her name is When the Walls Fell.
Dances with Costner.
There
is
you
her
go.
Name in that movie.
That's perfect. It says here this person, Mary McConnell, no relation, age 30. Is charged with third-degree criminal tampering and harassment in the second degree. She turned herself in, was issued a parent's ticket to return to court on a later date, but she was apparently so mad, and they don't get into why, but she just reached down, grabbed a hot cow pie, and wiped it on the
car. That's the other thing. Like, how far did she have to go get the cow feces? Like, it was... was there a cow feces in her front yard, or did she have to like, okay, hold on, stay right there, yep, run over to the fence across the road, climb over the fence, grab some cow feces, climb carefully back over the fence without getting the cow feces on her.
Maybe she's the farmer. Maybe she's got the cows. I don't know. But she had enough. Maryland. She had enough to both wipe it and then threaten to throw it.
Right, right.
That's a considerable amount of
cow
poop.
Which is really good. She didn't overdo it. Like, she didn't, like, use all of it up on the car. She's like, oh, okay. Yeah, I've still got some. That was just a taste of it.
Yeah, you want more of that.
You want the rest.
Yeah. Keep checking to make sure my kids are safe, and I'll throw some poo at you. I don't know what they were there for. It doesn't say, but anyway. I feel for that's actually a hard job.
Yeah.
Social services, because they got to do a hard thing. They got to go to some house where, you know, somebody's eating meth for breakfast and find out that the kids are trapped in the laundry chute or something. Like, it's a hard job. I mean, I made that scenario up completely out of whole cloth, but there's weird stuff that goes down. I've seen cops. I know what happens.
Naked. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's always some guy answering the door and a wife beater who looks surprised that the cops are there.
Yeah. Wiener's out.
Hold on. Let me get my bucket of cow poo. Okay. Yes. What can I do for you, officer?
My bucket of cow poo.
Hold on. I keep it right here behind the door. Yes. What is it? What can I do for you?
Seems like a bad scene. A man. There's another story. This is a man, not a woman this time. He erects. Oh, yeah. An electrified fence. And that's normal. Some people put up electric fences. It's part of the keeping the cattle away or whatever you're trying to do. Well, in this case, he did it to stop kids and keep them off his lawn. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's not cool. A sandstone man. Sandstone. There's no E, though. So sandstone.
Sandstone. Sandstone.
Ah, so you're a sandstone man. Sounds like a fancy college.
Yes, my father was the sandstone man before me, and his father before him.
You know what reminds me? That reminds me of something I wanted to share with you, and I totally forgot. It's totally unrelated, but you reminded me of it. You know how, what's his name? I can't think of his name. Andy on The Office was always talking about the college you went to. What was it?
Yeah, Muncie? Was it Muncie? Or it was Indiana. It was like an Ivy League or something, wasn't it?
It was like low-end Ivy League, though. Like, not one you'd normally... It's not like Yale or Harvard. It was like... Jeez.
Cornell.
Yeah. So you talking about Sandstone Man it reminded me of that. So now it reminds me to tell you this thing.
Okay.
While we were on the trip to Park City, I noticed we watched a couple of reruns of The Office.
Yeah.
They were early seasons. Jim and Pam were just starting to, you know, have the thing.
Mm-hmm. Googly eyes for each other. Sure.
And watching that, and it occurred to me, the two offices, British and this, took the same course. And by that, I mean this. So the British office airs. It's created by Ricky Gervais, but it also stars Ricky Gervais and the main character, David Brent, And then there's a bunch of ancillary characters. And one of those is Tim, who is basically Jim. But that guy's played by Watson.
Martin Freeman in the UK.
So you got Martin Freeman. And then now you look post British office, the biggest career to come out of that is Ricky Gervais, easily. And the biggest career secondarily is Martin Freeman.
I would argue that Martin Freeman has more external stuff going on than Ricky Gervais. Ricky Gervais is doing a lot of Ricky Gervais stuff.
Yeah.
Like it was shows that Ricky Gervais himself produced and put out there, and podcasts and things like that post The Office, where I think Martin Freeman, I mean, he's in a freaking Marvel movie. I mean, those, you know, as we talked about yesterday, the biggest box office films, not adjusted for inflation, have been Marvel movies recently.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But there are your two guys, right?
Yeah, right.
Gervais and
I
him.
See what you're saying. Yep.
You go, and everyone else, it's not like they stopped doing things. Like the guy that played, I forgot who the version of what's his name was, but the guy who was in like Pirates of the Caribbean.
The Dwight equivalent.
Yeah,
was,
the eyeball kept falling out. What was his name?
It was not Russell.
No, Oh my gosh, I haven't seen the British Office in a while, so I can't remember the name. But anyway, that guy has done some stuff here and there. And then I got to thinking, oh my gosh, this is just like the American Office.
It kind of is.
Because you got Steve Carell as your Ricky Gervais, goes on to have the biggest career. I think you're and certainly it's happening now, but John Krasinski, a.k.a. Jim, is going the Martin Freeman route. Mm-hmm. And had huge success with that Everyone Be Quiet movie. What was it called? Quiet Down, Everyone.
A Quiet Place.
A quiet place, that's it.
Yes. Yeah, Mackenzie Crook played Gareth. Gareth was the Dwight equivalent.
Gareth, yeah. Okay. So he goes on and he's kind of having his Martin Freeman career, starting to anyway, and I think this Jack Ryan thing is great. It's going to do huge things for him. So that's another cool thing.
I can't wait to watch some of that.
And then you got Dwight, played by Rainn Wilson, you could argue is about like the Gareth guy. You see him in a thing here or there, you know, people know him, he's popular on social media, but it's not like he's got the big career. But it's like they all did the same exact thing. The one big difference, in my opinion, is the Kimmy Schmidt character lady, who was this receptionist for a long time toward the end of it. She's kind of gone off on her own little tear.
Ellie Kemper, yeah.
Yeah, you don't really have that.
A great but there wasn't a replacement for Lucy Davis on the British Office, but she was in Wonder Woman. So, I mean, she's gone and done some.
Yeah. Well, she did the one thing there. Yeah.
Well, okay.
I like her a lot. I think Dawn was one of the best things about the original show. That character was great, but I don't.
She was in Shaun of the Dead. She appeared in Garfield, A Tale of Two Kitties. I'm looking up. Okay. Maybe she hasn't done as well as Pam.
I'm just saying. Yeah. And I don't even know if Pam's done all that much stuff. She's all right, I guess. Has she gone on to do much? She hasn't really done much.
I feel
much.
Like she's gone on to do like rom-com stuff, secondary characters in rom-com stuff, right?
Sure. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I feel like I haven't seen much of her. She's nice. I like her.
Jenna Fisher, what else is she? I mean, she's had some...
Oh, Mindy Kaling's a good example. Yeah, she's doing really well.
Oh, Mindy Kaling is really good. Yeah, really good example.
Yeah, but you don't see like Creed or Kevin or any of those guys kicking it. Mm-hmm. I mean, Creed probably doesn't care. He's like already has.
Yeah, he seems to be like the most like his office character. Yeah. He's just like, oh, whatever. All right, cool.
But it reminded me of that the actual anxiety-inducing episode where Kevin dumps chili all over the main office there. Do you remember that scene where he dumps chili all over the place? You have a memory?
No.
Of that? Oh, my Lord. You need to look this up sometime today. Just look up Kevin spilling chili office or something.
Okay.
It's the most anxiety-inducing thing I ever saw on television. On regular...
Oh, you know what I heard?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Oh, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I was going to bring up What's-Her-Face, who was on Parks and Rec. Not Amy Poehler, but her friend Anne.
Yeah.
The one who was dating Chris Pratt at the beginning of the series and then ended up with... Rob Lothian. She started out on The Office as well, and she's had a pretty good career.
Yeah, she did all right. Although she was on things like Freaks and Geeks and some other stuff.
Rashida Jones. Yeah, Quincy Jones's daughter, I think.
Yeah, Quincy Jones isn't the pervy one. It's the one. It's the other guy, the rap producer that everyone's mad at. I always get him confused. There's the rap guy that this Brett Ratner's friend, Jailbone Records, hot rapping guy, record man.
I don't know.
Chat room, who is it? He produced like Biggie Smalls and stuff. What's his name?
We're not talking like
not Pumbaa. Gosh dang it! No, but it's like that. He's like a big producer name guy.
Yeah.
And it's Skid Row, not Skid Row Records.
Suge Knight?
Not Suge Knight.
Sean Combs?
No. Russell Simmons.
Oh, Russell Simmons. Okay, yeah.
That's who I get confused, and he's the one accused of having like weird sex parties and stuff. Anyway.
Gotcha. The other thing I was going to bring up, and I have not watched this yet, so you and I could watch this together really quick. But you know Gillian Jacobs from Community?
Sure. I like her.
Britta.
Yeah, I like her a lot.
Yeah, and she just did that show Love, which I think was fantastic. Totally recommended that one for when it was on. She just did a Diet Coke commercial recently, right, where she walks around holding the weird new skinny can of Diet Coke and basically saying, hey, if you want to drink it, who cares? Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Someone told me last night to watch the commercial and then watch the face she makes after she takes a drink of Diet Coke. And she, it looks like it's the worst moment in her entire life.
Do we have a clip of this? I want to see it.
I've got the whole ad. I think she drinks it fairly quickly, fairly early on.
Throw it in the chat room. I'm going to see if I can, we can find it. Because this could be good material for visual purveyors of the show. If you're...
Look.
Oh, hold on.
Here's the thing about Diet...
I don't want to give them free advertising. Hold on. Okay.
Yeah.
So, here she is.
No, I'm not seeing it. She just took a drink and maybe she takes another drink later on in the ad.
So, there she goes. She put one down. I'm not sure there's anything in it because you know how they do these commercials. You don't have to show the liquid. So she's probably just drinking an empty can. All right. So she keeps going. She goes outside. She gave that guy some money. She's wearing really weird
colors. I don't see anything. I don't see anything about that face that. So this came up during trivia. The trivia host said, you got to look at Gillian Jacobs' face after she takes a drink of Diet Coke, and she acts like it's the worst thing ever.
Oh, yeah, and the second one, she drinks it, but she doesn't make it
cut off
face. Yeah. Okay, let's try that first one again. I'm just going to pause it.
Yeah, no, I'm not seeing anything.
Okay, here we go. She takes down. No, he's smoking the crack.
Yeah.
She's fine.
Yeah, it's just the Gillian Jacobs face.
Yeah. She makes that all the time.
I see no weirdness with her face after that.
Chat room asked a good question. Is it Gillian or Jillian?
It's Gillian. Gillian Jacobs.
Gillian. I like her a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too.
She's pretty great. And, you know, whatever. Where were we?
Well, sorry for steering us there. I thought, all right, well, this would be a good time to try this thing that...
No, it's all good.
Trivia Guy told us about. So it sucked, Trivia Guy.
Yeah, take that. Anyway, this guy put up an electric fence to stop kids, and now people are mad because
he's a dick.
Yeah, he's a dick. Yeah, because kids get caught in an electric fence, that's bad. Seems bad for anyone too, but you know, kid should have to deal with that. Just relax, you guys. Let him be in your lawn. Would you just drink? That sounded good. What was that you put down?
This is a Starbucks pumpkin spice latte, non-fat pumpkin spice latte right here.
We got some sweet Foley on that.
It's PSL season. What's that?
You got some sweet Foley on it, though, when you drank it. It was like,
oh, sorry. Gaburk. It was more the splash of it in the...
Oh, there you go. Well, it's an ice one, then, is it? It's like an icy thing?
No.
I like those.
Okay, I'll do the... That's what they were looking for in the...
somebody want to capture that so that I can... I want to GIF that. Somebody seriously clip it, please. Please, chat room, clip his face. That was amazing. I love that. All right.
There you go. Electrified fence.
Here you go. Here's a new story. Reported stun gun wielding clown got chased in Long Island. It ended in a teen's arrest. Reported incident involving a stun gun wielding clown. This sounds like a terrible idea.
Okay. Reported stun gun wielding clown chase in Long Island ends in a teen's arrest. Okay. It felt like there was more in that headline than there really was. Really, all we just have is a stun gun and a clown. Everything else is pretty run of the mill.
It's some complicated wordy title on that thing. Yes. And then the end, it's colon police. So that's great. Anyway,
police.
Yeah.
Police.
A report incident involving this guy allegedly chased various minors resulted in the arrest of a Long Island teen. That's my favorite drink. It's my best favorite mixed drink, a Long Island teen.
It's, yeah, that's how you get all the alcohols from a Long Island teen.
That's right. Christopher DeSousa, age 17, of Massapequa, was charged with the five counts of criminal, possession of a weapon in the fourth degree. That's not.
Yeah, that should be. There should be no comma.
I don't get it. Nassau police say the officers responded to a call regarding a suspicious person in a vehicle parked on some driveway. When officers approached the vehicle to interview the driver, they allegedly observed a clown costume and a clown mask in plain sight in the passenger seat. Well, that's not as fun as if he was wearing it.
No.
What's the point of that? Oh, wait, someone did the clip. Let's take a look here. Ryan takes a drink. Here he goes. Oh, I'm so capping that out. That's amazing. All right. Thank you, chat room. You guys came through for me. I appreciate it. During this subsequent investigation, it was determined that the driver was the same person involved in an alleged incident that occurred on Monday. While dressed as the clown, apparently chased a number of minors with a stun gun. Police say, adding the officers found 4 stun guns and a blackjack when they searched his car.
There you go. So that the plot thickens. So there, that explains the clown costume.
I'm surprised they say his name is 17. I thought they had to hide minor names.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you?
Well, maybe apparently not in Massapequa.
No, they don't give a shit.
Or anywhere else now.
Oh, I swore. Sorry, kids. There we go. Finally, this story, which warms my something. I don't know what it does.
The cockles of your heart?
Yeah, and I have questions about whether you would do this or not. So we'll get to this.
Okay. Ooh, all right.
Paris has opened a bunch of what they are calling open-air urinals. And some feminists are very expensive. They're expensive. They're very upset at the experiment, says this. And I don't know what they mean by feminists. That's a broad definition. But Paris's new open-air urinals have caused an uproar in the French capital. Earlier this year, Paris officials introduced the urinal experiment to tackle public urination, which I guess is a problem in France. It's also a problem in Seattle and San Francisco, so maybe we should have those there.
Public urination is?
Oh, yeah. Bad.
Wow.
People are peeing all over the streets in San Francisco. Everyone I know in San Francisco complains about it. They hate it.
Wow. Yep. I thought we were past that. No. I thought that was third world country shit. No, you know?
We're animals.
Oh, I'm
dude.
Sorry. Oh. Hold on. Actual coin.
Oh, you got a coin? All right.
Yeah, what am I throwing it at here?
I don't know. Some people hate when I do this, so now I do it more. Because I want to annoy them.
I've got no jar.
There you go.
There you go.
I put one in for you. Oh, see, there you go.
Yeah. Yep.
We'll give it all to charity. These fake coins aren't. It's a challenge coin. It threw it out. Yeah. Anyway, where are we here? They're called uritrators.
Trottoir.
Is that how you'd say it?
Uritrator, I believe. I'm going to put it in the chat room, and somebody there who speaks French is going to be able to tell us. But I think it's uritrator.
It says here
might not even be TR, like pronounced TR. It might be you're a twata.
Oh, twatwa. You're a twatwa.
No, I don't know.
Twatwa.
You're a twatwa. No, you're a twatwa.
None of that's good in public.
No.
Don't say it, everybody. The open air urinals housed in flower boxes are fully exposed on even the busiest streets in the French capital. One in particular located at the exclusive Le Saint-Louis. Near the famous Notre Dame Cathedral has especially caused an uproar for disrupting the lovely views of the river Seine, however you say it. The urinals are eco-friendly, and they have a straw layer that eliminates odor and will harness nutrients from the waste to produce compost for the city's many parks.
Mm.
So, Brian, your pee could contribute to the beautiful parks of France.
It'd be like Waterworld.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pee on a plant, nice. Survive longer, exactly. Since the introduction of public urinals, protests have occurred all over Paris. Feminist groups in particular have said the urinals are sexist and undermine women, and many have made a point of that fact that women are not allowed to publicly breastfeed their children in the city, but now it's cool for dudes to whip out the yin-yang and let it all
gotcha.
Rip.
That's the comparison. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Gwendoline Chipotle. What's her name? Chipotle. Coipialt. How do you say that? Quapeau.
Yes.
I forget most of that stuff's not pronounced over there.
Basically, with French, you never pronounce the last 3 letters of a word.
Oh. Patrick
it's
is
just there for show.
Patrick is Patry.
Patry.
See, this is a member of the feminist organization Femmes Solidaires. My least favorite card game. Is not just
again,
men.
You don't pronounce the last 3 words, last 3 letters, so it's just Femme.
Oh, yeah. Femme. Femme solidaire.
Solidaire.
Solidaire. Yeah, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't go to that. Says it's not just men who occupy the public space, says these women, but also women and children who must not want to see the men public, who might not want to see men publicly urinate. So it's not so much that, hey, we want equal time with our own out in the open toilets. They're saying, I don't need dudes whipping out the ding dong and peeing.
I mean, is the... Okay, so I'm looking at the photos here. So one photo is the sign, which is fantastic. It's a dude peeing into what looks like a Disneyland trash can. just right into the side there.
Yeah.
With like at maybe close to a 90 degree, his body close to a 90 degree angle with the apex, the focus.
He makes my back hurt is what I'm saying.
It does. Right. Yeah. It's like,
yeah. Yeah. See, there's right. a guy doing so it right next to him. Yeah. There he is. Okay.
And then the next photo is the Unabomber actually using one of these things.
Yeah, there he is, all hooded and ready to strike. Yeah.
And what's interesting is that I do like the fact that it is somewhat enclosed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, barely enclosed. But, I mean, you could, as long as you're a front zipper guy and no extraneous pull-downs, you can be completely hidden in this thing. It's like... it's like a mail drop chute at a,
yeah,
it's like your deposit box at the bank. Basically, don't get the two confused.
You could put like a little Kenny Baker guy in there too, though. If you're that's a little too big.
Jeez, that would be like the worst, the worst thing to happen to a little Kenny Baker guy. You mean a little person, Scott?
Yeah. I don't know why I invoked Kenny Baker. Probably because he spent a lot of time in a can.
Like, it looks like a droid. Yeah, this box does look like a droid.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's nowhere to wash your hands. That's a chat room makes a good point. Where are you doing that?
Oh, yeah, no kidding. Well, so Pops and Recline is, he posted a video of people using this thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, this terrifies me. Okay, I'm clicking it.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, there's a guy using an
I think that if the problem is that people are peeing in public, the solution isn't to give them somewhere in public to pee. It's to come down harder on people who pee in public. Right? I mean...
Right. Make them go use the public toilets like everybody else, because, you know, those are there, too.
Right.
Like, I guarantee right there in that town where this guy's talking... Is he French? Let's see. I want to hear him talk.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But in my opinion,
yeah,
this model is not attractive at all. And where it's been set up is not appropriate at all.
Okay.
By the way, looking at the front of this thing.
Yeah. Isn't it already it's losing
its
paint?
It's a very...
Or something.
So they've got the little U-shape that you put your junk in as you're peeing.
Yeah.
That's awfully close. And there is guaranteed 100% splashback.
Oh, without question.
Yeah, no, there is. This is
not a chance. Not a chance that you're not getting splashback.
Right.
Guaranteed. Yeah,
There's not enough depth to this thing for there not to be. Oh my god.
Yeah, I don't know about this.
There's a lot of splash damage.
Yeah. All kind of splash damage. Not interested. Turns out. Well done, France.
Yeah. Next time you talk to Patrick, you gotta ask him if he's on the instance tomorrow. You gotta ask him if he's ever considered using one of these.
Yeah, I wonder if he would. He seems like the kind of guy that wouldn't. But
yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong, and we'll learn something new about Patrick
tomorrow. No, Scott, because I don't...
I don't pee.
I make plans. I am better about the things I do when I go out into town. And
I mean, he's already so different. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way he's going to... This is not going to be his bag.
For sure. No, he's definitely not doing it.
Although, if it is, picks or it didn't happen, Patrick.
Really, really.
Really, really peed. Really, really had to pee, you'll say.
Well, Scott, I...
That's a pretty good Patrick. It's not really
I've been even workshop,
a...
been workshopping it.
It's not even like a French accent. He's got this
weird
conflagration of like 10 things. And they
yes,
make
there's a little bit of... there's almost a little bit of George Takei in there.
Mm-hmm. Little George like Takei.
Yeah.
Well, he knows Japanese fluently, so it could be that.
Uh-huh.
Could be, he also knows French. He knows Finnish. He knows some Swedish. He knows like 5 languages. So it's possible that all of that influences his weird one-of-a-kind accent because he's primarily raised in France, but he was born in like Lebanon. Or his dad's
Lebanese. Really? I didn't know that.
Or his dad's Lebanese. Maybe he wasn't born there, but his dad's Lebanese. Hmm. Mom's French. But spent a huge portion of his youth in Japan. Like, he's been all over the place. And he knows English fluently. So I think he's just got this, like, crazy different direction accent thing that makes him not sound French. Because whenever you hear French guy, it's like, oh, what did we have here?
Yeah, very, very strong French. Unmistakable.
Yeah. We met a girl over the weekend in Park City who was very French.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a very attractive accent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, especially coming out of a girl, because I'm not really into dudes, as it turns out.
As it turns out.
Yeah, I'm not really a dude guy.
Funny story.
Yeah, not into dudes. I say more power to you if you are. If you're into dudes, and I know we have plenty of listeners who are into dudes, be into dudes. And all the ladies, you're into dudes, absolutely. That's great. I'm into the ladies. If I was born a lady, I'd be a lesbian, because I really like the ladies. I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. I think we're weird and funky looking. I think men are weird.
Know, Scott, this feels like a doth protest too much situation.
Yeah, I'm getting there, aren't I? It's gonna break out in the news tomorrow. Tomorrow's the big day.
That's right. It's gonna come out.
We're gonna take a break. When we come back, Wendy will be joining us. We'll be taking your calls, and very excited about that. Should be great. So come on back for that. Before that, though, a musical break. Brian probably has, and he'll tell us about it now.
I'm digging this. This is brand new. Actually comes out, the album comes out tomorrow. The album is called Home. The artist is Church Girls. This is a band that formed in 2014 in Philly by Mariel Beaumont. They're an indie post-punk group that are tapping into listeners' emotional marrow and exploring the ways we work to become better humans a little at a time, unquote, end quote. Their 2018 single Young Plains premiered on Pop Matters. And it kind of reminds people of early Sleater Kinney. I hear a little bit of like Belly and the Breeders in here as well. Really, really digging it. They recorded this with Scott Solter, who produced Spoon and Superchunk. And like you said, the brand new album is called Home. Here are the Church Girls with Just Like You.
Everybody, how's it going? Let's remember the days when you could always get ready to go. Right, guys? Now you can increase your performance and get extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com, that's blue like the color blue, brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. So you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a regular pill. So you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ship straight to your door in a discreet package, rather. So no in-person doctor visits, no waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our promo code TMS. Just pay $5 shipping. That's B-L-U-E Chew. That's BlueChew.com. And the promo code TMS to try it for free. It's better, cheaper, and a faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring today's show.
Burger King introduces chicken tenders, real fillets of all white meat chicken breasts, not formed bits and pieces of chicken like McNuggets, real chicken fillets.
I take comfort in that.
The Morning Stream. Lights, camera, Kong.
And we're back, everybody. We are back. Sorry about that little glitch back there at the song. I don't know. I was really enjoying it. And it didn't, yeah, kind of didn't want it to end, and then it did. Oh, well, there you
it's
go.
It's really, really good. Yeah.
So now, yes, sir. Now is the time. This is the place. Wendy will be here. She might think I'm contacting her slightly early. Oh, I got a text. Let's make sure it's not her. Because sometimes, uh-oh, you know, sometimes you got to see what's up here.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Okay. No, all right. No, all right. Okay. No, nothing. Nothing yet. Let me just... there it is. Hey, Wendy. Wendy. It's Wendy Dumford, everybody, from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
St. Paul.
Or St. Paul, Minneapolis, the Twin Cities.
Minneapolis, St. Paul. You say it in order.
Yeah, but if they're twin cities, aren't they just the same?
They're actually separate. There's like a good 10 minutes in between them. Five minutes.
Do they look exactly the same if you look
at
them?
No, they're really different. It's really cool. And I don't know anything really. But one is more the sort of, I think, originally developed by the Catholic St. Paul side.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Minneapolis side, hipsters? I don't really know. Yeah.
But it is funny. I mean, it's one of the only cities where you've got twin cities. You live in one or the other, but you say them together like they're one city.
Yeah.
Like nobody says, oh, I live in Dallas-Fort Worth. No, I live in Dallas.
Yeah.
Or I live in Fort Worth.
Right. That's a good point.
It's true. I think it's because, and I've been trying to see if there's like a rivalry, and I cannot get anyone to admit if there is. They're just like, oh, no, we love them both. I'm like, what?
Really?
The
newspapers always had a thing, right?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So I did installations on the same visit to the Pioneer Press, St. Paul Pioneer Press, and the Minneapolis Star Tribune. And both of them asked me if I was going to go see the other paper while I was there. Like, wow. Are you also going to see the Star Tribune on this visit? Like, well, I'm not going to lie to you. Yes, I do have an installation scheduled for them as well.
Well, it used to be that way here for the Salt Lake Tribune and the Deseret News, but then they started printing in the same place.
Yeah.
So they're actually made, like, they're separate editorial and all that, but then everything goes to the same place to be printed. And I used to think, well, that seems like you're all in bed there. That's weird. All right.
It's a JOA. It's a joint operating agreement.
There you go. So you know what's up. You know all these things.
I still remember a lot of that stuff. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's what we count on here on the show. If you would like to ask my sister, Wendy, who is an actual therapist and helps people with real problems every day of her life, and especially here on Thursdays, over the air with you, you can call us 801-471-0462. And these can be questions about anything.
Oh, my gosh. I have the best idea, you guys.
Okay, give it.
Oh, cool. All right.
What if you get Misha, your other sister, to answer anybody's questions?
Oh, my gosh, dude.
Just one episode.
I think that would be a hoot, because what Brian and the audience doesn't know about my sister Misha is that it doesn't matter what you ask her. She'll want to reply in the most amenable sort of make sure everything's okay sort of way possible.
Okay.
So if I walked up to her and said, hey, Misha, why is your left ear seem lower than the right? She doesn't have that. But if I said that to her, she would probably go, Oh, well, I hadn't noticed, but this is, I really appreciate you letting me know, and I'll see what I, that's her.
Aww.
Yeah.
See, here's the thing. You're wrong. This is who she used to be.
I think she's still kind of like that.
Spicy, dude. I have gotten in multiple arguments with her. Okay, you know, you're a sister. You should, like, have fought once. Not once until, I think, last year when she was like, so why is Sweden so great? And we're like, oh, telling her why. And she got so defensive, as if what everything we said was great about Sweden meant everything sucked about where she lived.
Like, right.
Yeah. Okay. And really? I was like, who are you?
Okay, so this is surprising to me. This is surprising to me because I don't find her ever that feisty. She's never
I want her to do this to you because she and Adam got into it about life is hard. And Adam's like, well, I'd like living somewhere where people are concerned about each other and more of a communal kind of person. And she's like, well, life is hard. People just need to bootstrap. And we're like, what talk radio have you been listening to? Anyway,
I think
she's really funny. But I just, the reason I brought that up is it was hilarious when you said, anyone want to ask my sister Wendy a question? I was like, think how dumb that would be if I was just your sister. But also maybe it is dumb because I'm your sister.
Well, you are my sister and these things. Yeah. The therapy part makes it all legit. The sister part would probably still work because I think you have a natural knack for this stuff. But as it turns out, both things are there. And therefore, you can trust us, your source,
for Wendy saying things. Let's ask Misha next time and let's see what she has to say.
All right, we'll get on that. apparently, she has no poops to give, and I didn't know that. All right, we're gonna take a caller. We got one hanging on very patiently. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So my question is more about, I don't know, more general. I don't know if it's anxiety as a parent or something worse. So right now I have a 2-year-old and my husband and I are thinking about having another. When she was a little baby, I had a lot of thoughts like something bad was going to happen to her physically or her being sick and that she just wasn't going to be here anymore. Mm-hmm. And it went away pretty well. But it started to come back. I've been like having bad dreams and stuff. And it's one of those things that I fear about, but, at the same time, I feel like if something did happen to her, I would have a lot of relief. Like I don't have the fear or, I mean, don't have like, I know some parents are once in a while like fantasize about leaving their kids or whatever, you know, just to get away from all the responsibility, but mine is more of if she just wasn't here, I wouldn't have to worry anymore.
Right. I totally
the relief of not having that worry.
Right. Okay. The worry would go away. Sure.
And that's such a terrible like thought. It's like at the same time, like I fear about it, but at the same time, it'd be, I wouldn't have to be the mom anymore. And it's weird to have that start to come back when I want to have a baby again.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that's interesting. Where do you start, Wendy?
I mean, I think any anxiety and worry over your kid's well-being, I think, is 100% natural.
Yeah, that's pretty normal. I remember being completely freaked out for a long time, and even now. Like, people who think, when they get to be 18, that must be great, because now you don't worry about them anymore. Nope, you still do. They're different kinds of worries. You know, I've got a pregnant daughter now who's due in February, and that's a thing I think about all the time. I'm like, I hope she's okay today. I'll text her and just say, hey, how you feeling? You doing good? And she's doing great. But I keep worrying about it because I want her to be healthy. And if something goes wrong, I want her to make sure to tell somebody. And, I'm overly into it in a way that I maybe shouldn't be. Kim's the same way. But I think it's that part of it's natural. This idea, though, that if she just wasn't here, then everything would be okay is probably a worrying feeling. So, Wendy, how do you want to tackle that?
So let me ask you real quick, caller. Have you struggled with anxiety prior to having kids? Was there certain things you would worry about?
Okay. More depression driven.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've been suicidal in the past, but it's been probably more than 5 years. That it's been that bad.
How old is the child that we're talking about now?
She's 2.
2 years old. Okay.
She's 2.
2 years
okay,
old.
Okay. So one thing to note here, I think, as understanding one part of anxiety, I think for those who've never sort of struggled with it, you maybe look at it and think it's specific. Like you're hearing this caller thinking, oh, well, she's got this worry about a kid, and maybe it's the way you said it. But when you're struggling with anxiety, what happens is, you know, you think of it sort of like a roaming virus in a brain a little bit, where it will latch onto something to worry about. And so we'll find a home here, and then it'll find a home somewhere else. And sometimes there'll be more of the depressive side of things, or, you know, it isn't always that it's, I'm afraid I can't get my car. It maybe not so much the outward ways of fearing or, you know, being nervous. But a kid is like a gold mine for anxiety to land on.
Yeah.
Because that's where it's landing for all parents who aren't struggling with anxiety. Their worries and fears for, you know, their kids, that comes really naturally. So think of it like a double whammy. And so I'm assuming it probably feels, it's really pretty intense. So when you're saying, if my daughter wasn't around, there is a relief, you're saying there'd be relief from my anxiety. But the lie of anxiety is that it would go away with the item. Mm-hmm. And so it really is not, maybe, and I don't know exactly, but I would assume it's not simply related to your daughter. And that's why it's happening specifically right now. Because you would not want another child if this was, I'm so worried something's going to happen to my daughter, I need a break from this worry. You wouldn't add another one to it. So to me, that's kind of the clue that it's sort of this roaming anxiety that has found a gold mine to feast upon, because having children is just stressful. And how will they do? And there's so many things to worry about.
Sure.
So my question is, have you gotten any treatment for your anxiety in the past? Depression, obviously, you had some suicidal thinking at some point.
I haven't. I did try to go to a therapist when about 5-6 years ago, I nearly committed suicide or had an episode. They basically let me talk my way around my issues and thought that me being there was more stress than what was going on in my life. So I went and saw a doctor and they gave me a prescription, but I felt like it really, really dulled me. Mm-hmm. So I phased off of it and I haven't really done anything for it since.
So that right there, folks, is really normal for people to do. And thank you for sharing that, because I think it gives people a sense of, like, we have a mentality, I think, that comes with the medical model of well-being in the United States in particular, which is you go in, the expert's wearing the white coat, tells us what to do, we do the thing, and then we feel better, and it's great. And often that's prescribe you a pill and et cetera. It tends not to be very comprehensive or holistic in any way. It's sort of just like you say the right things. They only have 17 seconds to listen to you anyway, so then you just do your thing. And you're probably feeling nervous about being at that doctor or expressing any of those feelings. There's a reason that would be a really difficult time for you to, you know, demand good care. But I'm going to tell you right now, for your sake, your daughter's sake, your family's sake, and the, you know, wanting more kids and sort of balancing your life's sake, this is a time for you to demand good care. And seek out good care, because, and that means you're half of it, right? Like, you could go to see a therapist and tell them kind of nothing. Like you said, you could kind of talk around it, tell them nothing, and you're going to get nothing out of it. And maybe feel like, oh, well, I've checked the box, I've tried everything. But to really go and sort of dig into this so you can get some freedom from this. And there's a lot of ways, you don't even need medication for this. Medication is a really quick route to this. And, you know, often the best, we think, is the best way is some therapy and some medication if it's really extreme. But to learn how to handle these feelings and these thoughts and what to do with them and to feel like you have some power over this anxiety is going to make a world of difference, world of difference. And know that it's, you know, really you're at a stage where your mental health is sort of the most at risk for fluctuation, right? Because you have a kid, your body, by the way, you're not fully recovered. You don't fully recover in every sense of the word from pregnancy for 3 years. And about two, most people are like, yeah, let's have another kid. And so there are people who never recovered, right? Like it's
just are on a cycle of
just baby making.
Really?
And it's hormonal, physical, all the tendons, the ligament, everything is completely normal. Now, let's be honest, your bladders are never normal again. But so like it takes a while and biochemically and neurologically and neurotransmittery, it's totally a word. Those things have some balancing out to do for everybody. But when you have sort of a predisposition for depression and anxiety, the hormone fluctuation can be have a real strong impact. And so I would recommend you find a, you know, whatever doctor you use to have the baby or midwife or whatever, find one you really trust, you really like, you feel like you can talk to and you talk about these things with and maybe seek out someone who's a little more, has a little more time to listen. I always liked midwives because they had all the time in the world for me and doctors never did. And so you can express some of these concerns and then maybe get a referral from them or look around and see if you can find somebody who's going to work with you. Because you go into a clinic or an office and you meet with a therapist and you are like, hey, this is what I want. This is my prenatal care. I want to work on this anxiety I have about my daughter. It's probably generalized anxiety and it's just found a home with kids. I need tools. I need skills. I need you to train me how to do this. And then if medication needs to be a part of that, then that can be discussed. But I want you to be like, you're in charge of this, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's easier said than done when you're stressed out. So, you know, maybe get your support team to join you a little bit in helping you with this.
I'm impressed with the caller's willingness to talk about this. I think this is hard, especially when you have to sort of admit to yourself and others that you're having these feelings that, boy, this should be a lot easier if they sort of weren't here. And that seems inherently wrong to anybody who feels that way. That's a tough thing to admit. So we wish you the best and keep us informed on how things go. And I hope it works out because it seems like a very nice person.
Yeah.
Keep those calls coming in. We'll take more. 801-471-0462. That's 801-471-0462. Keep them coming. Wendy, I have a quick question before we get to the next caller.
Yeah.
I was in Park City over the weekend. Had a great time. Like it up there. Whatever. A lot of hipsters. A lot of Wendy likes up there, actually. You guys, there's a lot of whole foodie kind of hipsters, like my sister up there. I'll talk
about it. I literally have never shopped at Whole Foods in my whole life.
Okay, so I kid, but anyway, we're up there and we're at we talked about this on the show, but we're at this dinner, Kim and I, and there's this, we just noticed an older couple sitting and not talking at all. And so we had this discussion about older people sitting and not actually talking to each other for the entire meal, like nothing, just sat there, ordered, food came, ate, left, never said a word to each other, as best I could tell, because I kind of had my eye on them the whole time, which is also weird. But anyway, that's pretty.
Let's talk about that too. Yeah,
that's not necessarily a sign that things are rotten for somebody. It could be just they've said all they really can say. They're comfortable with each other's company without feeling like they have to, right? Like it's okay, right?
They could have been Finnish.
Yeah, they could have been Finnish because that's the Finnish standard, right? They don't talk at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Patrick told me about this once. He says the Finnish are very
funny.
So
what's your question?
I guess what I'm saying is is that a sign of, is that bad for a relationship?
Is that what we have to look forward to?
Yeah. Okay. So the answer to the question depends on your personality. So if that was me, that would be really bad. Yeah. That would mean I was miserable and I hated my life. Yeah. If it was my friend from college who, I swear this happened, we were both got married about the same time and we all met up for dinner, and at dinner we were just chatting and laughing and talking, and the wife said, I mean, we'd been married 2 years or something, and she's like, wow, we just sit in silence when we go out to dinner. I'm like, what? You're like 27 years old. What do you mean? Yeah. And it's because they're both kind of introverted. They're both not real chatty types, and that they're just comfortable with that, and so they're fine. So really just no. But then there's going to be many people who are not fine and have just found a rhythm of silent
right
go they get home, they go to their separate floors, whatever.
Yeah,
That's a thing.
All right. It's a thing indeed.
Did it make you feel better than them? Did you judge them a little bit? And then like, my marriage is lost.
A little bit.
I'm better than you.
A little bit. Yeah. Which is why it stuck with me, because I did feel that way a little bit. And then I thought, well, that's probably not how I should feel about this. I should probably understand it better. And so we've had a little bit of going back and forth about it. Looks like we got a caller on the line. Thank you for holding. You don't have to tell us who you are, but hi and welcome.
Hello. I will tell you who I am. Okay. It's Stephanie Ray from Canada.
Hello.
So I am going to tell you my question here, and then I'm going to hang up because long distance is a little bit expensive.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I'm in the chat if there's any follow-up.
All right.
So
I already like it.
My thing is, it's somewhat following on the heels of the last one, but I was thinking I'd call in this week anyway. The other night, I had a friend who let me know that she was in a very bad place a couple of months ago and that she had tried to take her life. And I guess I was a safe space and she wanted to let me know. So I was asking her, okay, well, do you have help? And she's like, well, with the current system, you know, not until November. And so I'm like, ooh, boy, howdy. Gave her a couple of places that had worked for me, and an intern was letting me know that I was available. And yet she's a shift worker. This conversation started at midnight and was getting on to 1:30. And I was at the point where I was like, oh man, my own sanity is starting to go here because I'm tired.
Right.
So we're good enough that I was like, okay, I need to sleep, you know, my own mental health reasons, thumbs up. And of course, this is all in text too, so it's harder to emote to somebody in writing form.
Yeah.
And said, I've got to go. And she's like, nope, you know, I get it or whatever. But I know how hard it was for her to even talk to me. She was feeling guilty and upset to even burden me with this because I'm a friend, not a counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I checked in with her the next day. My big question for Wendy is, at a point as a caregiver type person that's been through this, how do you let somebody know, no, it's really, I have to pee or I have to eat or I have to deal with stuff without scaring off the person to talking to you and not to continue the super vicious guilt cycle? Okay, I'm gonna hang up now.
All right, no problem. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
How do you, the question's obviously out there, but this is interesting. I've felt this before. Where somebody's going through something rough and you're the sounding board and they pick the worst time to be telling you a thing because now you're late for a thing and you can't necessarily just put your whole day on hold. But also, what are you going to say? I got to go. Mm-hmm. There's a meeting. That's more important than you and your suicide. F off. Like, how do you handle that?
Yeah, it's tricky. I mean, most of the time, people are going to pick the worst time. Because I don't know if it's unconscious or what, but there's a bit of a like, I can throw this in really quickly. If you said, I got 4 hours, I'm doing nothing this afternoon, what do you want to talk about? They're gonna be like, oh, no, no way.
Mm-hmm.
But I got 15 minutes, what's up? You're like, okay, well, and you sort of find a window that feels almost safe to slip it in. And then the reality is when you open that up, and the person is responding with empathy and it feels really good to be saying it out, then that's when sort of the times thing occurs.
Right.
So I would say that's probably the most common way it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Or late at night. The texting form seems like a way that, you know, it's safer to write it than it is to vocalize it. So all of those things are going to be happening. So the point is a good one. So you're human, you're going to respond with empathy, you're going to respond with concern. And you don't want to leave. And the person's going to usually understand that you have other things going on. I think that's the most important thing you can do. So I'm gonna first say what's helpful for the person who's sharing, and then what's helpful for you to take care of your own mental well-being. What's helpful for the person who's sharing is that you really do hear them. So it's not a matter of time. And I understand the reason for the person to text. One idea is to even if it's a suggestion, it's not like demand it, but hey, this is really serious. Can I come over?
Yeah.
Or hey, this is really serious. Can we talk with our voices? And they may say, no, I'm not comfortable. Let's just keep it texting. And that's okay. But showing up for them is ultimately what everyone really wants.
Right.
They're hinting and kind of throwing it out there because they need support. They need love. They need to know they're okay. They need to not be alone. And it sounds like this person a couple months ago attempted suicide is not getting treatment till November. That's a giant gap of time to be stewing about the aftermath of that attempt and how traumatic that is for people. You need to process it. You need to have, feel like you're not alone and that people will still love you and, all of those things. So it's up to you to reach out and ask for those things. But how do you do that when you feel so fragile? So those who are friends of these folks who get a call or a text late at night, you know, if you can think in terms of just physically be there, maybe it's just your voice or maybe it ends up just being text or email or something, but that you are as present as you possibly can and then clear about the boundary. So for example, I'm coming over right now. And if I have all the time in the world, I'm staying all the time in the world, but I've got to pick up my kids at 3 o'clock. So you have me till 3 o'clock. And, you know, we tend to have our lives pretty dang full. And so we tend to sort of, this is really a tricky question. How would you want to be treated in that moment? Well, and then do that now.
Isn't part of this that the problem could be related to that person having a really hard time seeing outside of any other perspective but their own, forgetting that, you know, basically with assuming that they should be the focus of your attention might be part of the problem to begin with. You know what I'm saying? Like, are you perpetuating that, I guess, by, you know,
you're not perpetuating. Well, okay. Depends on who the person is in your relationship, right? If that person has sort of always played that role of like discounting your time and whatever, then that's maybe a different story. But sort of, this is a good friend who waited months to tell her this and then got up the courage to do it late at night on a text. That tells you that maybe it's a little different story. But it's so you can handle both things in one swoop, and that is to be clear with your boundary.
Right.
So for example, I can't talk right now. I'm going to this really important meeting. You're more important. I will cancel this meeting if I have to, but can I call you the minute the meeting's done? So some kind of clear expectation can be really helpful. This works. And part of it is understanding the mentality of someone opening themselves up to you. And maybe it's because what I do and I recognize it as such, but it's a very sacred thing, really, that someone will, you know, goes about their day acting like everything's fine and then will sit down and tell you their deepest thought or feeling is sort of mind blowing when I back up and think about that.
Right.
And so it's a version of that. Right. And I think we're so used to like, hi, how are you? Good, fine. We don't have a lot of practice in how are you really? And tell me about, you know, you're not doing this on a regular basis. And maybe some of you are. So we're not really practiced in it, if that makes sense. So here's another sort of suggestion is just sort of be humble about your inability to do it right. So for example, you know, you just remind them that they matter to you and you don't want to say the wrong things. And is it better if I just sit here? Would you like me to smile, cry with you? I you know, I'm here for you. And again, this all relates to how close you are to this person. Right. But you don't have to be an expert. You don't have to be a trained person to see someone else in their struggle and sit with them and care about them and express love to them. It's not easy. We're all terrible at this. We go to funerals all the time. Someone has a diagnosis and we're just like, I'm going to avoid you because I don't know what to do. Like we're not great. So, you're going to feel maybe awkward or feel like you're doing it wrong, but just be kind and humble about it a little bit.
Right. And a couple things to add, Stephanie put in chat. Number one, she wanted to make sure it's clear that it's she's not as worried about the understanding. She's worried about them being scared to talk further at a later call. And also wanted to clarify or ask if it's a woman thing for to have this extra guilt.
Yeah.
About it.
Is there any gender thing there or no? It usually sounds but whatever.
I had a funny conversation with Elliot this morning. He's like, Mom, girls are always afraid of mice. And I said, Elliot, boys are afraid of their feelings. And he goes, Oh, I see. I see what you're doing there.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. But it was like he just kept throwing out gender specific things to, because he's kind of playing with that idea of like, is that all girls are? And I said, no, not all girls are afraid of mice and not all boys are afraid of their feelings. So you don't need to, you know, label it as such. But I would say girls are trained to sort of spend a little more time and maybe have some more natural inclinations toward sort of the empathic response and the, you know, whatever. And then to, did we do enough? Yeah. And that's ultimately what she's saying. So I'm listening to this friend. I'm trying to help her. I have to go to bed. So I need to take care of myself or my, you know, whatever. And then am I slamming the door? And so one way to handle that is to be very clear. You know, I need to go to bed. I want to talk to you again. When can we do this? I want to see your face. I want to hug you. You do not have to deal with any guilt if you make sure that you do everything you possibly can to make sure that person knows that you care about them in that conversation. You can do it with words. Yeah. You don't have to do it. And some people, words are harder, right? I understand that. So maybe it's that you make a bunch of casseroles and that is your language of expressing concern. Then do that. It's taking her somewhere fun or a night out or something. Whatever your superpower is, use your superpower, but make it as clear as possible that that door is open and that, like, I mean, truly, it's like making another appointment. You just make another appointment. So I'll see you next Tuesday at 4. You know, you just kind of build it into to that connection. And then the guilt thing, I mean, just a quick note on that is, you know, you're hearing someone's really scary thoughts.
Yeah.
You're hearing it. And sometimes your own baggage gets triggered. Maybe it's your own experience with some of those things or a family member or a loved one or having felt powerless helping someone previously, you know, so you're sort of having to take care of yourself a little bit in that moment to make sure, you know, sort of that you stay on the healthy side. But also like you can't do much other than talk. And here's the thing. If I could get a panel, that would, right. We can get a panel of people who've been suicidal, people who've attempted and recovered and, you know, where they are, they're at a good place now, they could talk about it. And we could ask them, what are the things people could do or not do? And of course, it's going to be somewhat individual. And, you know, I would assume most of them just want to know you're there.
Yeah.
So that's tricky. Like you're saying, oh, well, I'm there at 1 a.m. No, actually, I'm asleep. And so how do I navigate that is hard. But use your superpower. Make sure they know you're there and then reschedule or schedule again and, you know, sort of do your best to not let the guilt be too high.
Yeah.
And if you did this on a regular basis, you would figure this out. But recognize you aren't doing this regularly. You know,
right.
You're not trained in this.
There's probably a side of this we could talk about forever, which is there's some people who are this for a lot of people, you know, are the safe place to call for a lot of people. And that is really taxing on the person that is that person. My wife does this a lot where she's kind of everyone's get out of jail free card for a lot of people, neighbors, friends, family. You call Kim if you're in a pinch because she will bail you out. And if it's all happening at once, sometimes it rains, you know, like she is just like overwhelmed and I can see it in her. It's like she doesn't, and it's not that she doesn't want to do every single thing she can for everyone who's all asking for help at the same time, but it is really, it can be really taxing. And, you know, kind of wear her out in a way that's probably not healthy for her. So
it's called compassion fatigue.
Yeah. There you go. CF. Yeah. Everyone's got a little CF, hopefully.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. No. And you do really have to, I mean, I just recommend not making your life so busy. You can't do this for one person randomly here or there. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like if that's, I mean, and let's just be clear, if every single neighbor is struggling in some way and you know all their names and chat with them all, but you don't know a single one of their problems, it's not you they're coming to. So somebody else is getting eight people talking to them in some form or the other, right? So not that you need to become that person, but recognizing, hey, the person you're going to share your woes, you know, check on them. I mean, this is maybe not as serious as suicidal, but you know, you go to this friend to sort of unload and, you know, maybe ask him if that's okay. Like, how you, can I do something for you? I mean, I've had to do a thing that is, I think I've talked about this on the show before and, you know, everyone's in different places with this kind of thing, but I just have to be really clear in my own head is this a friend that's a mutual benefit, or is this a one-sided friendship? And I can do that. I can have a one-sided friendship. I don't mind. I'm happy to help them perpetually with their mental health questions, right? Mm-hmm. But I also am not going to call that person when I need, you know, my tire's flat and I need them to come pick me up. But then I have to make sure I have those people that will come when the car tire's flat, because it's mutually, we mutually talk, we mutually share, we, you know, kind of thing. So it's a lot of self-care is really like knowing what you need and making sure you get it. And that is one thing, kind of going back to the caller's dynamic is, you know, one of the best things you can do for this person who's seeking out their help with their own mental health is to model good mental health and to talk it about what you do. And obviously don't be lecturing them at fragile stages about you should exercise and drink nothing but bean juice. Okay. Not like that, but more like you're living it. And, you know, like setting a boundary of like, I need to go to bed. I have to work at 6 and I've got all this stuff. And I will, at the end of that day, I will come over to your house. You know, like you just make another appointment, honestly.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Give that a shot. Let us know how it goes. Always good to hear from
Stephanie. Wait, I have one more thing. Mm-hmm. I forgot.
Oh, yeah.
Rally and really ask her to rally her support system. And it may be, and this is what's so hard is that the shame and the aftermath and all of the feelings that she's going through, it's so much easier to just isolate, which makes all of it harder and worse. And so the more support you rally and, you know, the better. And that goes for all caregivers, is to make sure your team that helps you feel okay is in place before you know, mask on yourself before you put it on the kid, kind of thing.
Right. There you go.
Makes sense. Yeah. Stephanie's in chat, by the way, and she said, thank you. This definitely helped.
Good. We like to hear that, Stephanie. I like Stephanie a lot. She calls in a lot.
I know, and I like Canada.
Canada's great.
What's not to like?
The only thing not to like is they have, it's expensive long distance fees. That's all.
Yeah. What's that about?
Yeah. Oh, let's, you know, brag about our free healthcare, but no, you still have to pay to call the U.S. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I think everyone does. Like if you call us from Europe, you got to pay. Like it's just everyone should, that should end. Like it ended here.
No,
it used to be if I called Idaho, that was long distance. That's done now. We're done. So quit doing it internationally. We should all be able to talk anytime we want. And I know you can do it with Skype and other stuff, and I get it. But
it's still long distance for you to call Idaho, Scott. It's just
it doesn't cost me anything.
Well, it's included in your cell phone plan, but if you were to call from your home number, you'd pay. Well, if you
I don't have a home number, is my point. We've eliminated the need for that dumb rule. It's dumb. Nobody needs to do it. No, there's no money lost in the process. It was always a dumb rule. You know what, Brian? It's like it was like texting and limiting how many texts you could send a month back in the day. What was that?
I'm agreeing with you on this. Yeah.
These are all bad business practices and they should end. Just nickel and dime us to death, you bastards. All right, Wendy. On that note.
I was just saying I liked Canada.
Look where that took us.
Gary.
Anything you want to mention? Wendy Dunford on Instagram, of course. Anything else you want to push out there, let people know about?
Yeah, I still need a couch. I did not watch your show because I still don't have a TV. And it's slowly coming together.
Yeah, getting all moved in. The kids are in school, right?
They are. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Forever.
First year of high school for Allie, right?
Yeah, like a real high school. And then Abe's first and last year in junior high, the lucky dog. And then the two kids are in fourth and first grade.
Yeah. And they're all gone.
They're doing great. Yeah.
Yeah. You should take the afternoon off. Do something fun. I don't know what.
I have like 6 clients after this. Oh, no.
All right. Well, then don't. Do something work related, I suppose.
Yeah, I will.
All right. But thanks, Wendy. Right. Have a fantastic week. See you next time.
Thanks.
Okay. A couple final notes here before we end the podcast. We got an email, or I got an email from somebody named Tom, and I just want to give him a shout out. Tom Duvall, not related to Shelley or Robert, as far as I know, is having a birthday. He turned 30, and mainly I want to say best wishes to his nephew who was rushed to a emergency care child center for some stuff. He was just born, and there's some complications. And so we are hoping the best for your nephew.
Oh, for sure.
But also a happy birthday, Tom. We hope you have a fantastic one. And now Brian and I are going to eat weird food.
That's right. I guess there's nothing weird about Zapp's potato chips.
Yeah,
they're just
not.
Sweet and delicious. And big thanks to...
Here, I'll do a theme.
Don't crush the food.
Whoops, that wasn't very loud. Let's do it again.
Well, don't crush the food.
Don't crush the food. All right.
It's so true with Zapps, too, man.
So who is this? Oh, wait a minute. Where did we get Zapps?
Jason Hawthorne.
Okay, Jason was the Zapps.
Yeah, so big thanks to Jason Hawthorne for that.
And also a Chinese or a Japanese thing that we got from?
Daniel, and I don't have his name in front of me.
I have it here.
Do you? Okay, good. This is basically the what's that mukbang portion of the isn't that the ASMR Twitch videos of people eating
something
mukbang?
Like Daniel. Oh, he doesn't say his last name.
Okay, well, Daniel.
Oh,
good enough.
Steindohofer. Steindudodofer.
Perfect. Yeah, that's exactly it.
So we're gonna try a couple of these things now. We went for the Zapps chips are becoming more ubiquitous. You can get them at like Potbellies and places now, so these aren't that unusual. They used to be kind of the South only, and they were hard to find anywhere else. But what we've done is we pulled a flavor that we think is a little bit unusual. I've never heard of it. It's New Orleans kettle style sweet Creole onion.
Mm-hmm.
These will give you the good breath.
That's right. I'm actually going to eat a couple of these now, and then I'll save the rest for a sandwich for lunch.
Yeah,
perfect.
That's a good idea. So it looks like a chip. Mm. I don't want to freak anybody out. It's pretty normal. Oh, these are good.
Hmm.
Those are tasty, right?
They're very good. The,
Ooh, the onion really hit you. Woo.
It's a super, but it is a super sweet onion flavor. It's really good.
Yeah. They were right to put,
all right.
Sweet in there. Now the thing Brian picked, which I'm terrified of. Brian, you want to describe what this is?
Happily. This is made by a company called Market O or Market O. Or Market Zero.
Yeah.
And the only label on it is real brownie. And then the picture underneath it is what I would describe as not a real brownie because it's not even brown.
I'd call it real greenie.
Right there. It's a real greenie. It looks like what happens if you leave a brownie out for a while.
Yeah, it's a green.
But apparently
in a way.
This is a matcha green tea brownie.
Oh, okay. So that's where the green's coming from.
Yes.
Also got a little.
And as long as we eat it before January 8th, 2019, we're good.
Okay. Actually, we had some Planters peanuts in Park City that we took with us just a snack on that said expiration was January 2019, and they were the most stale damn things I've ever eaten. So we're taking them back.
Yeah, I would. And somehow that package got it lost its flavor seal freshness.
Yep.
The psss when you open the Planters
there you
peanuts.
Go.
Okay. Well, I'll say this: the photo on the front.
Yeah.
Absolutely looks like what you get when you open the package.
Yeah, it's green. It's green, dude. Look at that.
It is so green.
I think the chat room can't... the cameras aren't quite selling it.
I know. Exactly.
Green. Yeah, it's super green. All right.
Super green.
It smells like, okay. It has a weird smell.
Yeah. It smells like brownie.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely got a brownie smell. Mm-hmm. I could see Aunt Beru eating, serving one of these. Luke!
Oh, yeah. Luke, come get...
Come get your real brownie
in these weird cups, these 70s Tupperware cups that we have. All right, that's not bad, but I have a texture issue.
Mm-hmm.
It feels diety. I don't know how to describe this. You know how you have a diet pastry of some sort, and you're like, ooh, that looks really good, and it's low fat, and then you eat it, and it's like a gritty... It clearly doesn't have the kind of sugar and or flour you normally would expect. I'm having that with this. It tastes fine, though.
It's like a flourless brownie, like a...
Yes.
Or a gluten-free brownie or something. It doesn't... And what the other thing is, I don't get any sort of matcha green tea flavor from it.
I don't either.
And the brownie flavor disappears after the first instant. Like, you get that initial brownie taste immediately, and then... Whoosh,
yeah, it's gone.
It fades off like Thanos snapped his fingers at this brownie.
Oh, the space troll. You mean the space,
space
ogre.
Troll, the space ogre.
The space ogre, right.
Listen, there's the space ogre who says something like, I'll use the calculus as something. I don't know. This is the stupidest movie ever.
Yeah, he didn't like it. I'm not into it.
First-rate spaceman.
It's a first-rate spaceman.
Well, what's Thanos doing these days?
you know
he's got the gauntlet.
Yeah, he's got. He absolutely does have the gauntlet. All right. Well, I don't know how I feel about that. I think it's good at first, and then you're not sure. I don't know.
Yeah.
Japan. You guys are weird. You guys are weird. But we're going to keep eating your food.
More weird food tomorrow because we have a lot of it.
Tom was talking at the table this morning about making Japanese apps. And what it would be. I can't remember what the context was. It was something about making apps that were specifically for Japanese audiences, and they'd be Japanese apps. And I said, what would you call them for short? And he goes, I don't know. And I said it without any knowledge or irony. I wasn't thinking. I said, why don't you just call them Japs? I know. And as soon as I said it, I went, what am I saying? You can't call them Japanese apps. Japs. That's a terrible idea. Even if there's an extra P in there.
Right. Oh, Scott.
I know.
Oh, Scott.
It was embarrassing, even for me. Anyway. And Jewish apps would still be Japs. Is that what they're saying in the chat? All right. Well, anyway, World War II's over, guys. Get used to it. Let's get into the getting out of here. Hey, frogpants.showbot.tv is the place for you to go vote for your titles. We recommend that you do that. You can do it right now, and Brian and I will pick a title after we roll the credits. What else? Frogpants.com is our website. Frogpants.com/TMS specifically, so you can go there and find all the cool stuff that we do, including a link to how you can support us at patreon.com/TMS. Our goal is to gain a few of you this month. We'd really like to see more of you. That would be wonderful. Frogpants.com/TMS. There's some cool stuff in there. I just did artwork that'll be sent out to everybody in print form and collectible card form. It's the only way you can get it. It's exclusive to the show. Again, patreon.com/TMS. All right.
I got called out during trivia last night for an answer to a question that I don't think was at all racist, but the dude made it sound like it was racist. So just to give some clarification, then I'll get to the song people. Just wait a second. But we had, as part of the trivia, Geek Suturing trivia, fifth round is a visual round, and you're given a sheet of paper with several questions on it. Visual photos, stills from movies, TV shows, etc. And last night's was identify the products based on the shots of these pitch people. So there was the dude you're getting a Dell guy, and there's the PlayStation guy whose name I can't remember, the blonde guy in his suit. And then the bottom one was an African-American woman standing above a row of bottles filled with different colored liquid. And I didn't recognize the commercial. I didn't recognize the thing at all.
Yeah.
But I noted that, well, okay, well, the bottles of liquid look like Fanta. It's like a whole bunch of different flavors of Fanta or something.
Oh, okay. All right.
And here's the, as a matter of fact, I will put, here we go, copy image address. I'm going to put, imagine the shot with all of the labels obfuscated, so the you're not seeing the labels on this the shot. So I'm putting a shot in the chat room right now.
Okay, pulling it up,
and that was the photo that was given, but all of the labels were obscured, so you could not see the labels. All you could see was the different bottles of clear liquid.
But these look very Fanta. You're right,
they totally look Fanta. They totally look like Fanta flavors. Don said, is it Snapple? And I said, no, those definitely aren't Snapple bottles. I don't think, you know, that's definitely not Snapple. The other people at our table didn't recognize it either. And so I said, all right, well, Fanta. And the guy says, so Brian's team over here sees a picture of an African-American woman and a bunch of bottles and immediately assumes Fanta.
What?
And I said, and I'm like, well, is Fanta considered a...
Is that a thing? I've never heard that.
Never heard that. And then I said, would it have mattered if I would have said Faygo? And he started laughing like, oh, I'm not even going to touch that one. Like, all right, well, I don't even think that was racist.
Yeah, even that's
that was
not,
like insane. Yeah. That was ICP-est, if anything.
That's really weird. I don't think that's the case at all. I don't think there's any kind of thing. That's somebody faking outrage.
He's smoking the crack because he thought that Gillian Jacobs thing was a deal, and he thought this was a racist thing, so I don't even know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
But
he's got perception issues, dude. That's what's happening there.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Anyway, good. I'm glad it's not me. See?
No, it's not you.
I was going to call in and disguise my voice and talk to Wendy a minute ago. I'm glad I didn't.
Okay, good.
All right, let's get to
it. Would have seen it on camera, Brian going, well, anyway.
My camera just went out. Oh, darn, guys, my camera just went out.
Anyway, keep talking, then you mute us. Hello.
Hold on. There's got to be a thing that disguises my voice in here. No?
No?
I thought it was like
makes
a little
it go low, like Justin's Satan voice or something like that.
That sucks, damn mixer.
Yeah.
All right.
Stupid mixer. Anyway.
This one goes out to Tokidoki Tensai, who says, "Greetings, skin and bones. I'm spending all of September focusing on improving my skills at drawing hands. I even gave it a dumb art challenge name, #handtember."
Oh, I love it.
Which, I'm using that hashtag too, but doesn't have anything to do with drawing. Anyway, I've been listening to a lot of Carpenter Brut, a French synth wave group, while I prepare for my grueling and monotonous challenge to make myself a better artist. I heard them do a cover of Michael Cimbello's Maniac, and I thought it would be a great cover to play on TMS. Thanks for all that you guys do, and if you or anyone wants to draw crappy hands with me on the road to betterment, use the dumb hashtag #handtember. #handtember. I'll be posting some guides from great artists that have helped me. There's a hole in the roof, though. Signed, Tokidoki Tensai.
Here's what I don't have hole in the roof because it got lost for, I don't know why, but I have this.
Good for you. Use two hands to double your pleasure and double your fun.
There you go. Use two hands. Something about hands is what I wanted.
That's a little bit more in line with my hand temper.
I wouldn't mind joining in on this because I'm a big fan of trying to improve those kind of specific art skills, and yeah. I do okay hands, but I wouldn't mind. That's a thing anyone can improve.
Yes.
Hands are hard.
That was a Peanuts cartoon that I remember where somebody, I think Linus, drew a picture and handed it to Lucy, and she says, the fact that this drawing, the person doesn't have hands probably means that you yourself are trying to reach for something that you can never attain, blah, blah, blah. And at the end, Linus says, no, I think it's just the fact that I can't draw hands.
Oh, man. That's pretty good. I kind of have a memory of that one as well. I have the whole collection. Yeah. I bet I could find it. But yeah, hands. Everyone knows. Hands. Even Schultz knew. Hands are tough. That's
totally
deal.
True.
Yeah.
Anyway, the song the Tokidoki Tensai wants to hear is the song Maniac, originally done by Michael Cimbello for the film Flashdance. This was the ringtone I used, by the way, for Crazy Neighbors for a while. I don't know what happened to it, but it's not on my phone anymore. But anytime they'd call, I'd hear Maniac, which was just perfect. I played this before back in December, as a matter of fact, but it's so good. Totally bringing it back. It is from their live album from last year, Carpenter Brut Live. It is Carpenter Brut and their cover of Maniac.
See you guys tomorrow at 3:30 Mountain Time for an edition of PM. We'll see you then.
Maniac, maniac on the floor, and she's dancing like she's never. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
You should try Space Food Sticks.